We've got some guests in this morning to talk about an event that is happening here on campus. They are from the Kessel Peace Institute. We have the director of the Kessel Peace Institute, Jamil Huck, and two student advisors who are with the Peace Institute, Cole Kutz and Natalia Orocio. Good morning, all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to see all of you. You know, it's been a while since we've had you on, and last time we were talking about was the, you know, the Free Palestine, Ceasefire Now, and genocide, you know, the whole, what the Peace Institute is all about is, you know, creating and encouraging peace. So we have Jamil with us, director. Let's talk a little bit about what it is exactly you're hoping to accomplish. What's the situation right now? Because we talked about a month ago.
First off, let me thank you, Karen, for having us on the radio. We always appreciate coming on your show. It always makes us feel heard in the community, and I'm really glad. Appreciate the hard work that you do. So the Kessel Peace Institute has decided to hold an off-campus protest for the first time this year, and we'll be protesting tomorrow, Tuesday, April 9th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Erlinson Park. Mm-hmm. That is on the corner of Main Street and Victory. And if you are trying to take the bus there, take Route 6, and that get off at Marwood and Black Eagle, and then it's just a couple blocks over to the park. We're trying to be visible in the community because we have an awful situation going on in Gaza that is untenable. And to be honest, we're the ones funding it. So we want to make sure everybody sees us and everybody is welcome to join us. We will be peacefully protesting also. That should be noted tomorrow, Tuesday, April 9th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Erlinson Park.
And that's what you're all about, is the peace part of it. That's why you're called the Kessel Peace Institute. Do you give a little bit of history of where did the Kessel Peace Institute come from? How did that develop here on the campus?
Well, Dr. Abbas Kessel, who came to Mankato in the 1960s, was instrumental in keeping the town safe and peaceful during the 1973 Vietnam protests, where apparently Mitch Goodman, one of the activists involved in the anti-Vietnam War movement, wanted to firebomb the police. So it was Dr. Kessel who kept the Mankato from descending into into chaos, and after Dr. Kessel died in 1993, professors got together and created the Kessel Peace Institute in his name to honor that commitment to peace. And since 1993, the Kessel Peace Institute has promoted peace and social justice in the Mankato community and the greater Minnesota community as well.
Can you think of some of the other ones maybe could recall that the organization has stood up for and promoted peace with?
Absolutely. Well, the last couple of years under my leadership, we've made two movies, both about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1961 visits to Mankato. These are both documentaries that you can view online. If you contact me at peace@mnsu.edu, we can send you a link. And also we'll be having a movie showing on May 22nd at Centenary Methodist Church. And so we've done these two movies. We've done events where we bring speakers to Mankato. In the past, we did a Holocaust slate of events in remembrance of the Holocaust. We did animal rights stuff. We've done all kinds of peace and peace-related activities. It's just right now our focus is on Palestine. Our focus is particularly on Gaza right now because that is where people are suffering. That is where our tax dollars are causing people to suffer, and we need to stand up and say that enough is enough.
And Jamil, I want to point out that your expertise is definitely in this area of the world, because isn't that your background in studies?
Absolutely. I am a professor of modern Middle Eastern history, and I write and research about Palestine. So it's not just, I'm running a peace institute. I'm going to going to take a look at this issue. It's
right.
Actually, this is what I write about. This is what I research. I've gone all over Mankato, I'd say, to a dozen or more classes at MSU. I've gone to East High School. I've gone up to Gustavus. I've spoken with Kiwanis and other groups. I've probably already given lectures on information about this conflict to over 1,000 people in Mankato so far.
Do you have family over there at all? You're just interested, but you've traveled there?
No, my connections are solely as a human being. My family origin is in South Asia and Europe.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. I wasn't sure if, you know, you'd been there or traveled there at all.
Not yet. Hopefully one day.
Okay. Well, and we've got a couple students in with the Kessel Peace Institute. They're involved as what you call student advisors. And so with us today, we've got Cole Kutz and Natalia Orocio. First of all, I want to talk to Cole. Cole, what is your major? Why did you decide to get involved in the Kessel Peace Institute?
Well, hello.
Glad to have you here.
I'm a political science major, and I'm involved in the movement because it's a discussion that's not actually being had in our political science classrooms. The spectrum of conversation has remained moderate, and this is an issue that demands the attention of political scientists and activists and campaigners in order to create the meaningful change necessary to have peace in Gaza. So that is why I'm participating.
And Natalia was not here at our last interview. Natalia Horatio, tell us what is your background in terms of major and why did you decide to get involved?
Yes, hello. So my major is human resource management. I decided to get involved with the Kessel Institute of Peace. Well, it's kind of funny how I came across them. I first went to Latinx Affairs during the beginning of this semester because I was looking for other students or staff to talk about what is happening in Gaza. And I thought to myself, what other better place to find people than a university to have these kinds of conversations? So then Latinx Affairs referred me to International Affairs, and then International Affairs referred me to the Kessel Institute of Peace.
Okay.
Yes.
Why is this an important issue to you?
Well, because as Jamil said, because as a human, like, I know that the only difference between myself and anybody else, or especially those people in Gaza, is that I was born here and they were born there. I think that especially because us in the United States, our tax dollars are going towards that. I think it is very important that we are talking about this and we don't just keep on going along with this system that not only that keeps on exploiting us also to use our time and effort, energy, our money to basically kill these innocent people.
Okay. I mean, both very strong reasons, and I applaud you as young people to even learn about the issues, because do you feel a lot of your classmates maybe are not aware of a lot of things happening? Either one of you can talk.
A lot of my fellow classmates are pretty disengaged with the conversation regarding Palestine, and it's not an isolated thing. I think a lot of younger people kind of have chosen to disengage with the body politic because they don't feel that the people we elect represent us anymore. When you look at in the primaries, you saw that Joe Biden ran, and there was a 1 in 5 DFL voters voted uncommitted. I was among them. but it was to reflect the fact that people are dissatisfied with Joe Biden's response to what's going on in Gaza. And it's a tangible result that you see in the primary. And so people in college, people like me, don't like to engage with politics because they don't believe that change is possible. And part of the reason that we go outside and we're going to yell and scream and make sure that our voices are heard is to prove them wrong and to prove to them that they should engage with the political process because their voice is just as important as anyone else's to create change.
And your thoughts, I was just curious about you know, getting involved in this sort of thing. And do you feel that your friends, other folks, are maybe just not, are clueless or just too busy with other things and they don't care?
I feel like it might be a combination of both a bit. Well, at least this is just my observation. I can't really speak for everybody in the Sure. College of Business. But my observation with my fellow classmates, my fellow students, is that I don't think that they are aware of how much impact they can have in this. Not just them, but I think everyone. I think everybody has an impact in this because, again, it is our taxes being used. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be more conversation. We need to be using our voices. And the issue that I am seeing a bit with my classmates, other business majors, other business students, is that they are going to graduate and be part of the business world, but they seem unaware that a lot of these major corporations that they are planning on working with has forced labor or child labor in their supply chain, because I talked to other students and Some say that, you know, I'm not going to really love my job, but it's going to be a job and it's going to, you know, make a good income. And, you know, I 100% I get that and I respect that we all just want to live. We all just want to be making enough money to go by. But I think that there needs to be more consideration with students when they are choosing what do they want to do with their lives. Where do they want to work? Do they want to be a part of a big company that has forced and child labor in their supply chain? And I think that if they knew more about that, if it was more spoken about in our classes, because it kind of isn't. It really isn't. Like a lot of my classes as a business major has been business, you know, like not very in the human portion of it, because it's kind of like looking at people as just numbers. And I think that's an issue. And I think that we really need to start thinking about and taking action, taking consideration, making choices to better ourselves and just to be better as a society.
Well, sometimes, you know, when you hear about protester things, you think about the insurrection at the Capitol January 6th. And now that was not a peaceful protest. How do you prevent something from becoming something like that? Because, I mean, it's scary. You hear protest and you think, oh, is there going to be violence? And, of course, that is, like, I know the least thing what you want to hear about, obviously. But how do we get that to happen so we don't get some of those reactions like we did in that case?
Well, Karen, I think we've got a dedicated group of students and a dedicated group of activists who are going to make sure that doesn't happen. We have plans in place. In case it does, we're not expecting any outside groups to come. So that's also important. We've kept it as part of our mission here in Mankato to keep this something that we're doing, not something that, like, we're starting and inviting everybody in to do, but something that we're doing to show everybody this is what the students at MSU want to do. And I'll kick it over to Cole here.
Okay. Like Jamil said, this is an insular movement, so we're keeping our base of support to a message that we can control and also a group of people that we can trust to carry out said message. And just to the point, we are the Castle Peace Institute. We believe in peaceful principles and practice, and we fully intend to carry those out in our protests tomorrow.
Yeah. To second what, well, technically third, to what Jamil and Cole were saying, yes, we have trusted people. We have people that we trust that are going to be carrying out this protest. But also I do want to say that if we come across somebody who, you know, is very, have very strong emotions on what is happening there, I think it'll be important for us to validate them, because me too. I also have very strong emotions towards this, mm-hmm. but also just to let them know that the way to make progress in making change is to have this be a peaceful protest.
Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks. I mean, that's
right.
That's what you're emulating, is this peaceful way to get heard. So what does this protest look like? Where is it going to be? And what can people expect to see or hear?
Well, the protest is going to be tomorrow, Tuesday, April 9th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., and it is drop-in. If you can't make it at 3 p.m., nobody's going to leave you out. We're going to line up in Erlinson Park along Main Street and Victory, and we're going to hold up signs, we're going to chant, we're going to protest, and we will be peacefully protesting. We will not be engaging in civil disobedience. We will be handing out information. We will be showing the Mankato community that there are people that care about Palestine. You know, we actually have a lot of Palestinians living in Mankato, and they have felt isolated, they felt alone, and we're speaking up for them. We're speaking up for them because they're our fellow human beings, and even if our politicians, this is something I think the DFL does not understand, the level of angst, anxiety, and, to be quite frank, anger that young people have right now towards the party because they're witnessing a genocide and they are doing nothing.
Do you think the Republican side is going to be the answer then, or?
No. That would be...
That's what I was, you know, thinking like, well...
You know, a lot of things have gone sideways since 2016, but that would be a really big twist in the story if that became the answer. So I think that both parties actually need to recognize the basic humanity of Palestinians. Neither party has. Both parties are looking to make, as Natalia was talking about, they're looking to make money, they're looking to sell weapons, and if that means killing innocent people, that's fine. So we have to stand up to both of our major parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, and say, now is the time to change.
How large is the community here? Because I would have no idea, you know.
I would say that we have at least 20 to 50 individuals from Palestine.
Okay.
Possibly more. It's not always. A lot of times, because in 1948, so many Palestinians were made into refugees by the Israeli state, 700,000, you don't necessarily know, because you could ask somebody, oh, where did you immigrate from? They could say Jordan. They could say Egypt, right? But in actuality, they were originally from the West Bank or from Gaza.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to go off of what Jamil had said earlier about how young people are dissatisfied with the DFL. And I want to mention that this movement concerns itself primarily with peace in Palestine, but we strongly desire reform in the Democratic Party, especially here in Minnesota. You see things like our own governor, Tim Walz, has been very silent on the issue. And it's clear that he has members of his own progressive coalition. You have representatives, senators like Ilhan Omar, who has been outspoken on this issue and has made several sacrifices in the national legislature in defense of the right principles. You have State Senator Omar Fateh. He's been outspoken about this, and they have been left alone in the legislature despite the fact that their opinions, their positions on this issue represent a broad majority of, I believe, DFL supporters. You even have Amy Klobuchar, who openly voted against UNRWA, funding UNRWA, and as a result, the humanitarian crisis has greatly broadened in Israel. So this is reform that is desperately needed in the Democratic Party, and it will hurt them electorally for as long as they are hesitant about it.
So when you look at these, you're mentioning a bunch of different names. Are you interacting with them on some basis? I mean, how do they know you're down here in Mankato talking about this? What is that connection that you're heard?
We a couple weeks ago met with Luke Fredericks.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Good. So we are meeting with representatives. Good. Holding meetings with them. I'm in a lot of people's email inboxes right now. They aren't talking to me, but I'm really talking to them.
Sure. Okay.
But when we talked to Luke Fredericks, we came to, at least on the level of the state legislature, a lot of our legislators are not exactly educated on the issue, and a lot of them hold a moderate stance on genocide, which is not something you want to do. It is complicity to be moderate in this situation, to act as though the circumstances are complicated, and to take a side is premature. It has been pretty well established at this point that there is a genocide happening overseas. Our tax dollars are funding it. We, as a state legislature, can make sizable change against that. We can repeal anti-boycott divestment sanction legislation that we have here. There are things we can do, but our reps are not very well informed on the issue, and a lot of them carry a reactionary position.
Well, you're going to be in the Erlinson Park, so people will see you. How will they get your message then? I mean, do you expect, because like me, I'm the media covering it, so people hear it. I mean, is that your primary means, or are you hoping people will come and say, what are you guys doing here, and you talk to them, or how do you get heard, I guess, is the, you know...
The intent is visibility.
Okay.
This is what in social politics or in my major is what we would call a numbers protest. We're trying to demonstrate the broad support that this movement has, okay, and we're trying to best clarify our message. And our message right now is your tax dollars are funding a genocide, and you need to demand from your representatives that this changes.
Okay, and it says, join us to demonstrate this unlawful occupation. So What do people do? Just come to Erlinson Park tomorrow or what? How do you get involved?
Yeah, just come on down to Erlinson Park. We're going to make some signs. We're going to bring big signs.
3 to 5 p.m.
3
tomorrow.
To 5 p.m. There's mm-hmm. going to be some candy. There's going to be, we're going to have water.
Always good.
So candy and water. We will be loud. It's going to be fun. It's not going to be in any way intimidating. We're going to be walking around. Natalia's going to have a bullhorn, and she's going to be leading us in chants. And basically, it's going to be that traffic, right? Like the timing is specific to, we're hoping that there's a lot of traffic going on
Victory Main Street. And Main Street, right. That's a major intersection.
Yeah, it's a major intersection. It's a safe intersection. And we just want people to be like, oh, well, I'm here, just going down to Taco John's and... or maybe going to Zan's to get a Chilito. And what's this Palestine thing? I'm going to look that up. That's the hope.
That's your hope. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And so it will be tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. And the Erlinson Park is in Mankato at 101 North Belmont Drive. If you haven't been there before, they've held a lot of other things there, community events. So it's a pretty well-known spot. Do you have to get a permit or something to do this sort of thing? I'm just curious. I have no idea.
No, you're allowed to occupy that public space as long as you're not blocking anybody from doing anything.
And you're peaceful, I assume?
Yeah. So we'll be there on that sidewalk lined up.
How are you getting this message out to your friends? Because you're young people. You know, they might listen to you more than they would like somebody older like me or even Jamil. How do you get them to care?
Social media.
Okay.
If I could put it in two words, it's social media. You need to be as loud and annoying about the issue to everyone within your grasp about Palestine. You need to use social media to your advantage. And there's that. And then there's just the people in my immediate social circle who I give them a constant reminder that, things are normal here, but we're condoning something completely untenable overseas. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, social media. I'm always reposting or posting about the updates in Gaza. There's this one journalist, Wizard Bisan on Instagram, that she does live updates every single time. And I think it's pronounced Prince Kowarta. Okay. He's also always posting about it. And, once in a while, I do get some friends who I haven't talked to in a while that send me a message asking about it. And, even though a larger number of people do see my post, I do think it is still worth it, even if it's just one or two people mm-hmm. who are reaching out and really want to have that kind of conversation. And then within like my immediate like circle, yes, I also talk about it. And, it's a little bit hard because sometimes I might feel a little bit bad because they're trying to talk about fun things, like about their weekend plans and this and that. And I don't just interject when they're talking about something fun. Definitely not like that. But I do still mention it a little bit in our interactions because this is real life, like we are just one small perspective amongst another 8 billion. So I do that. And then with my family, I talk to my mom every day and I talk to my dad often and I talk to them about what we've been doing here and they're very supportive. It's like they are an older generation who has been fed a propaganda for a very long time that is very anti-Muslim. I feel like a little bit bad even sometimes because at least like my dad who watched CNN, it is hard to see talking to him about this news source that he has trusted for a very long time and telling him that what they are showing is like not all of it, not even close to all of it. It is favoring one side. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty lucky that they are both pretty open. They are pretty open-minded.
Sure.
And yeah, I just have conversations with them every day. And it was very nice when I talked to my dad last. He told me that he was talking about it with his coworkers. He's like, yeah, I asked them about it, like what they know. And I'm like that's just doing that, because that spreads on. That spreads on to them asking their friends, and then they ask their family. We just need to continue to talk about it.
Now, you guys mentioned social media, so I assume you have a social media presence online. Could one of you tell me where to go to find out what is happening with the Kessel Peace Institute? Is it Facebook? And I'm older, so I do Facebook. But I'm sure there's many other ways that you get the word out. So let's talk about that if you want to help us out here.
Yes, we do have an Instagram account called Mavs for Palestine.
Okay.
Yes, that is where we post updates about demonstrations that we are planning and protest, and also some reposting from other media sources or journalists from Gaza.
Yeah. The Kessel Peace Institute has a Facebook page, okay, but because we're really looking to reach out to students, hasn't been very active.
Oh, sure. That is not where... It's older people like me.
I know. Me too, Karen. Right, yeah. Me too.
And you're behind me.
I'm trying to learn how to use the Instagram, and I'm going to say the TikTok to make it sound even worse. We've also been really tabling on campus. We had a protest last week that Natalia led, we put 200 flowers down onto a banner with the name of 6,000 War Dead in Gaza, and we got that resolution past that we were here to talk about last time.
Yes.
So we've built up a following, and so more directly, I have an email list that I send emails out to students to try to get them to these events. But really, word of mouth is huge. And the idea that, like, this is a moment in time. This is a moment where you can say, should I go to that class or should I go to this protest? Go to the protest. This is a professor at MSU telling you, skip your class, come to our protest, get some candy. We have some keffiyeh scarves to hand out. So
what's a keffiyeh scarf?
It is the traditional Palestinian scarf.
Oh, okay.
And we have a few extras that we're going to give to some of the superstar protesters that we find at our event. Okay.
I know you've invited my son because he's got a passion. He's a high schooler still, and that happens to be the day they have their... It's either SAT or AC. It's one of those big tests, and so they'll be doing that all day. So hopefully afterwards he can, he's interested to come. So.
Yeah, you don't have to come right at 3. Come anytime. You can leave early too. Nobody's taking attendance. Nobody's making you stay there for more time than you want. In fact, it would be great if we have people dropping in and dropping out to keep enthusiasm up.
You hand out flyers or anything to, like, if people want to be more educated, because, you know, just to hear you say, you know, support this or don't support that is one thing, but how do you educate them with the message?
Yeah, we'll have a table with information,
okay,
and we'll have we'll encourage people to sign up for certain apps about boycotting, and we will also have a QR code that you can scan to donate to charities that are support Palestine.
All right, and you brought this up. We got a couple minutes left here. You did pass that
the Student Senate resolution to support free speech and pro-Palestinian speech. Yeah, Cole and Natalia were huge on that.
Well, I remember you saying that you kind of got put off and stuff. So what was the change that happened?
The change that happened was the last time we went to you, we mentioned that we were going to do a sit-in.
Mm-hmm.
And the sit-ins helped a lot. It was the most attendance that they'd had in that room in a very long time. And we had ran out of seats. There were people sitting on the floor. Everyone was holding signs. And I'm pretty sure that all of our reps were sweating in that moment. So despite a lot of stipulations being put on the legislation itself, we got it passed.
Okay.
We got it passed, and now we have the securities that we're looking for when we're trying to express ourselves on campus.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all for coming. We've been chatting with the director of the Kessel Peace Institute, Jamil Huck, and student advisors and students here at Minnesota State University, Cole Kutz and Natalia Orocio. We want to thank you all for coming, and I hope you have okay weather tomorrow, because, I mean, it's going to be rain or shine, I assume.
Rain or shine.
And it looks like some sunshine tomorrow.
Yep.
And no eclipse predicted tomorrow.
We'll see.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Karen.
Keep us up to date. I hope if folks want to know more, they'll come down and learn from you. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Love to have students involved as well. It's always great. Hey, it's 11:30. I got to say so long. Let's check outside and see if you're going to see the eclipse. I think not. It still looks cloudy. It still looks like there's rain coming. You'll have to drive down to, I don't know, somewhere south of here.